Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour first year anniversary show. I'm excited to bring this show today to you because it has been 1 year since we have been on the air. Thank you to all the guests and our sponsors that made this show possible throughout the whole year. I also want to tell you today we're going to be providing you some bloopers. That's right. Errors that your host, yours truly, has made during the year. It all started way back when, back on Saturday, July 7th, 2012, with Peter Lowe, attorney from Brown and Isaacson. And he had this to say about the Penn State scandal. And we're back. This is the HR Power Hour, and we're talking to Peter Lowe, attorney from Brown and Isaacson, about the Penn State scandal. So, Peter, we have only a few minutes left. Tell me about the lessons from this scandal. What can people take away and really, you know, think about?
On a high level, I think we have to understand that no person, no program, no institution is untouchable. That's a key issue. Number two, we need to create a culture, what I say, of compliance and reporting. People have to feel comfortable to come forward, to report, not to fear that they're going to be retaliated, to have trust in an organization that if they want to come forward, whatever it is, that they're going to be respected. And so that's key.
Yeah, it's really important.
I've talked at length about how to do it, so I'm going to pass on that. But conducting a good, fair, thorough investigation is really important. One issue that I think is so important is be prepared to admit your mistakes. And that's a lesson that is applicable so broadly through life, not just to organizations. But don't be afraid of admitting your mistakes. And one client who I work with last year had a tricky issue, personnel issue, and some folks were let go, were terminated. And long story short, after an investigation, they were reinstated. And what I remember most about some of the press coverage that followed that was the recognition, both in the press and the comments that people post, about this organization said, "We're sorry, we were wrong, we made a mistake." And that goes an awfully long way.
Because, that's huge.
You know, none of us are perfect, and we've got a laundry list of shortcomings and flaws, and we're going to all make mistakes. Sometimes the mistakes are more serious than others. But an organization that goes into defensive mode right away and immediately says, because people are alleging these things about us, they must be false, they must be liars, we're going to take them down. Boy, I mean, that's a risky approach unless you're 100% confident. So, you know, that's a real big takeaway for me is when if you find out someone within your organization did something wrong, be ready to pick the ball up, get things right, straighten them out, and run with it again, but make sure that, you know, you've taken responsibility.
I think that's critical. That's a huge takeaway. You know, it is so much easier to just get it out on the table, work it out, and then move forward. Sometimes you got to step back to move forward.
Right.
And I think in this situation, that's a critical piece of it.
And I know the slides I did for the PowerPoint, I think my last line was, the cover-up will ruin you. And that is so important.
Blooper.
Next, we're also going to be talking with I Have No Idea. I Have No Idea. Three words, nice language. I Have No Idea. He's going to be Ima Have a Noah Idea. And now that you've heard from our first guest, Peter Lowe, I want to thank a few of our other guests who were in the July 2012 month. David Bowman, TTG Consultants, David Pease, Andrew Scoggin Bank, Richard Freund, Maine Workforce Investment Board, Ashley Goodenow, HRASM Board, College Relations. And then we had the one, the only, Charles Wilkinson from Human Resource Management. And he was talking to us about federal contract compliance. Here's a quick clip of what he said. And we're back on News Talk WLOB. This is the HR Power Hour. I am David Chulo, your host, and I am on the phone with Charles Wilkinson from Birmingham, Alabama. Charles, how are you?
Doing well, David.
Good. We've had a great first half, great conversation. And I think what would be great to hear from you now about is the fact that there are going to be new regulations coming out that cover veterans and disabilities. So let's take one and then the other.
Great. Well, this is exciting stuff, let me tell you. And some of the game changers that OFCCP has been talking about, you know, when they made a statement a year ago that over the next 18 to 24 months, we're going to be revising all of our regulations to make them to strengthen them, to give us more flexibility and authority as an enforcement agency. And so the two biggest areas that's happening in is veterans and individuals with disabilities. So on the veterans, the biggest thing about this is that right now we have to solicit veteran status and for that matter, disability status post-offer, meaning that we've already made them a job offer, and then we ask veteran status or disability status. This regulation is going to move that up front where we have to ask veteran status and disability status pre-offer.
That is really going to make it a challenge.
It really is, because, again, there's some things we may run afoul of, because there is a disabled veteran category in the definitions of veterans, and then certainly individuals with disabilities. But under the Americans with Disabilities Act and its amendment, you know, we're prohibited from asking any questions about disabilities and taking that into consideration in our employment decisions. So it's going to be a very confusing and very complicated matter to now ask those questions up front, because it's a shift in how we're thinking as a contractor and as an employer even. You don't ask those things, and now we have to.
Blooper.
I apologize. Did you say this week or next week? No, that's why I stopped. I just went, I couldn't remember. Oh, next week.
Yeah.
Well, what about this week? I don't want to talk about next week. I want to talk about this week.
Well, this week.
Okay. I got it. Hold on. I'm
okay.
Sorry. Did I? So this week.
No, next week.
Next week. Oh. Okay, we're ready. Next, we had our August 2012 month, and that started out with our first sponsor, MaineHR.com, a great sponsor, and it was Bud Bernstein, CEO of MaineHR.com, that was on the air talking to us. Then Lawrence Steibel. Larry came on and talked to us about career certification. We then had Nancy Martin. She was an unemployed professional at the time, and I'm happy to report, now employed. We had Marty Perlmutter, State of Maine Rapid Response Coordinator, came on the air. Next, we had Heidi Bergeron, who was from IDEX Laboratories, talking about employee relations. And then we heard from Dan McCarthy, speaking about leadership from the Director of Executive Development Programs at the Whittemore School of Business and Economics of the University of New Hampshire. And here's a quick clip of his topic. And we're back with Daniel McCarthy from the University of New Hampshire's Whittemore School of Business and Economics. Dan, thanks for being with us today.
Sure, David.
So we've been talking a little about leadership programs and development and so forth. You know, we've talked about a couple of the steps right at the beginning. Tell me how you should wrap up that in regards to the CEO.
You know, you have a chance to talk about the bench and succession planning, and CEOs are usually a little more open about talking about investing and willing to invest in their next generation and leaders. But I always like to ask them how satisfied they are with our current leadership development programs. For example, we're currently doing, and talk about the program, find out if they've heard about it, anything, positive, negative. Is there anything they'd like to see happening that's not happening? So that'll give you a sense for how in touch they are with what's going on right now, what kind of an impact you're making, if they've heard anything, any constructive feedback. But it's a good thing just to kind of check in and see if they have any awareness of what you're doing, and, you know, thank them for their time and let them know that you'll be sending them a summary of what you talked about. And their comments from all the executive team will be the input into your leadership development strategy. And when you send that document back to them, they'll recognize it. They'll recognize their thoughts. You know, it'll be as if they wrote it. And you'll have that buy-in and that ownership and commitment.
Blooper.
Let's put that right into the music. Yeah.
I'll start over completely. Let me do Robin again too, because my people,
yes.
My peeps were happen. I don't know about my peeps. He's gonna be talking about his peeps and how the peeps have the potential.
You're killing me though.
I know.
Oh my God.
I'm trying. My all peeps.
Right. Yeah, you do a good.
You want passion for unleashing and the power and potential of my peeps.
Okay. All right. We're gonna do this again.
Okay.
Our
next show was Making It in HR and Executive Coaching. And our guests were Robert Cornett. He was the Senior Vice President of HR at Ride Express. And Keith Mullen, who was the Chief Executive Officer of Mullen & Associates. We then started September with Tom Morris, Founder and President of Morris & Associates, talking about off-site retreats. We then had two national speakers, Ryan Estes, who is the Chief Experience Officer at Ryan Estes & Associates, and Don McPherson, President of Modern Survey. And they talked about leadership, culture, and engagement. And here's a quick clip of what they said. And we're here with Ryan Estes and Don McPherson. Gentlemen, thank you for being on the show.
It's good to be here, David.
Thank you for having us.
Well, no, it's a pleasure. Well, let's talk a little bit about, if we can, leadership, culture, and engagement, because I think that's a great topic, and it's something that I know that both of you talk a lot about. Ryan, if you could kick it off for us and kind of tell me what you think that topic means.
Well, Don and I share a common definition of engagement. So we define it as the psychological investment that employees make in the organization. And ultimately, I think it means an opportunity for organizations to capture more potential for their employees and to perform better. I believe increasingly that culture is becoming the de facto sustainable competitive advantage for an organization in this new economy. And so the degree that leadership and HR can elevate engagement and ultimately drive performance is a good thing.
Don, your take on it?
It's very similar. I think of engagement as obviously the psychological investment that employees have in their organization, but there's a fire in people's belly. There are people who just get it and who bring their best on a daily basis, and there are people who just go through the motions. And unfortunately, the scale is tipped toward those people who are going through the motions right now. I think there are things that we can do about it organizationally and through leadership. But far too few organizations are doing that effectively right now.
Blooper.
Oh, you don't have their bios yet.
I don't. That's what I'm
saying.
That's
right.
Okay. I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, it's
we have no one of value. None. No.
We're going to hear David talk.
Value.
Talk,
oh,
talk.
Whoa. No value. Our next guest was another national speaker, Diane Durkin, talking about employee loyalty. And then social media in the modern workplace was a hot topic on September 22, 2012. And that was Matt Ball. And at that time, he was at Vero Dana. And now, of course, he's at Bath Ironworks. So who are our next guests that rounded up September? Well, first, we had David Butelman, Manager, Senior Claim Representative for AllSup Incorporated. And he was talking about Social Security Disability, a great topic. Finally, we ended the month with Christy Hillman talking about the staffing industry. She is the Director of Staffing for Career Management Associates, and here's a quick clip talking about why staffing is so important. Today, we're going to be talking to Christy Hillman. She's the Director of Recruiting and Staffing for Career Management Associates, an HR services firm in Portland, Maine. She has her CTS certification as well as her CPC certification. And we're going to be talking about those today and why staffing is important. Christy, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for asking me, Dave.
You know, one of the things that we have not yet talked about here on the HR Power is the staffing agency or staffing industry in terms of what's going on out there. So, first of all, maybe I guess the first question would be is why would an organization consider or use a temporary staff person?
You know, temporary staff is a great way to supplement your existing staff without necessarily adding to your headcount. A lot of companies will bring on temporary staff when they've got a large project or there's a vacancy, or they have a position open that they need to hire, but they really want to try somebody out first. There are companies that have cyclical business, and temporary people can help out during peak periods. That sometimes can assist your existing workforce by preventing burnout so that they're not the ones working a lot of overtime. And again, you can add to your staff temporarily without really adding headcount and then adding expense.
Well, you know, certainly today with companies looking at budgets and looking at what they need to do, this would sound like a great idea for an organization who may not be ready yet to hire a person on permanently. Mm-hmm. You know, temp staffing could be used, I would assume, to be really looking at somebody who could be test-driven, you know, brought into an organization and see how they're doing. Would that be a good...
Exactly. It happens all the time. You know, the types of candidates that we see on typically are professionals. They've been downsized or outsourced or they're in transition. So they bring a lot of skills to the table, and often we'll put them on a temporary assignment and it'll be for a fairly singular task role, and they'll get into that company and they'll mesh with the culture, and that gives the company really the chance to see who they are, what they can do. And you know, most temporary people go in to companies really putting their best foot forward because they want to get hired. So it gives the hiring managers and the organization a good chance to see who they are before they do hire them.
Blooper.
Okay. So then I got to do this with
you.
Today
we're
going to
cutting and
to...
pasting. Thank you, David. More cutting and pasting.
No, love cutting and pasting. We're cutting and pasting today. We then started the month of October. October 6, 2012, with HR certification and information on the National Association of Personnel Services. Our guests, Christine Avery, Senior VP, SPHR of FIS Solutions, now over at St. Joseph's College, and John Sacerdoti, President of NAPS, spoke about this important organization. Our next guest was Marjorie Marshall, President of Vandover, talking about talent mobility. Finally, we ended that show with Brian Hughes, VP of Sales of Bisson Moving, talking about corporate relocation. And here's a quick clip of some of the tips Brian had for you. With me live in the studio today is Brian Hughes, Vice President of Sales at Bisson Moving and Storage. Brian is going to be talking to us today about local moves, international moves, and national moves, and what really happens in the moving world. Brian, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Hey, you know, we just had a conversation with Marjorie Marshall from Vandover having to do with company moves and corporate moves and what it all means and how it happens. But you're here on the ground at the local level. Tell us a little bit about maybe what companies should think about in terms of locally when this happens. Let's talk about that first.
Well, what we've run into historically is a lot of companies locally don't really get involved that much with the move because it's such a big piece of people's lives. They're afraid to get actually involved. But after people have done a few, they get comfortable with it and they understand that having a local rep is a great way to get the family transitioned into their new home from wherever they're coming from, getting settled. There's somebody here to help them if they have an issue or a problem. And once we've done a couple of those, then they start to warm up and they get comfortable. One of the things I found the most helpful is being able to get in front of people, whether it be the employer or the employee, and actually explain to them the process so that they're educated and they come into it understanding, you know, my things aren't going to be picked up in Chicago Monday morning and be here Tuesday morning. You know, they have to plan. So it's helpful for them to have more information.
You talk about a process. Could you maybe take us through maybe the highlights of that process so that if somebody listening says, hey, I may be going through this soon, what can I be looking forward to?
Sure. Well, they can be looking forward to a great move if they call us. But other than that, what typically happens, if we bring somebody in to Maine, for example, from another state, normally I would chat with them, find out what they're trying to do, when, you know, time frames, that kind of thing. Do they have anything unusual? You know, a piano, pool table, those kinds of things. And then we arrange through our national network to have a local rep actually go into the home, do a walkthrough, survey what they need. Then they electronically scan that info to us so that we can generate some numbers, an estimate for the employer. But also it gives us a clearer understanding of exactly what they're doing so we can better schedule the move. Then, of course, comes the time to schedule. I know you've done a couple of these yourself.
I have.
So you know you have to schedule the packing day where everything gets boxed up and ready to go. You then have a loading day, which it can be more than 2 days if it's a sizable amount. And then, you know, you have the transit time. If they're coming from California to Maine, it's a different set of dates than if they're coming from Boston. So you have to walk them through that and give them some idea and, you know, make sure you've got some clothes, you know, things of that nature. You're going to need temporary housing to stay in, like, a suite somewhere until your things get here and like that. And then the delivery and actually timing that and making sure they're available and that you can get it in because they're working.
Blooper.
Hold on. Hold on! Did you have to deal with this your whole life?
Yes.
My God! What is wrong with...
I'm going to take my whip on my back.
It's okay, Deb. Let it out. Let it out. Let it out. It's okay. So we rounded out October with two more great guests. First one was Peter Bennett, attorney at the Bennett Law Firm. He talked about labor relations and employment law. And we ended the month of October talking about the workers' comp process with John Marr, Senior Vice President of Claims at MIMIC. That was a great show. We then started the month of November 2012 with two great guests talking about two different topics. First was staffing trends. Tracy Madden, CEO and founder of McIntosh Staffing Resources, and Jeremy Haskell, sales manager of business development for jobs in the U.S. and jobs in ME, who came on as a sponsor, a great sponsor of the HR Power Hour at that time. And we want to thank them for their sponsorship. We then went into two more great topics and two more great guests. First was Debbie Trippier, president and owner of Retail Positions, and she talked about recruiting and why it's so important. And we ended that conversation with Carrie Baker, the senior account executive of Norton Financial Services, and she talked about the up-and-coming Affordable Care Act. Yes, we were talking about it in November 2012, and here is what she said. Today we're going to be talking with Carrie Baker. She's the senior accountant executive for Norton Financial Services. Carrie has been an employee benefits broker for over 14 years and has a reputation of providing creative solutions and unparalleled services to her clients that she serves. We're going to be talking about the Affordable Care Act, healthcare, and why it matters to everyone out there. Carrie, how are you doing today?
I'm great, David.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure.
Awesome. So, talking about healthcare, and I think with that being a big topic that's going on right now, I think individuals are saying to themselves, how is this going to affect me? Mm-hmm. Companies are starting to say, how is this going to affect me? And certainly I know I've gone to plenty of seminars and plenty of informational briefs, and they're not sure. You know, it's interesting. They not all the regulations have been written, but but there is information out there. So give me a little bit of your perspective in terms of this, sort of healthcare, maybe what you're seeing in terms of overall arching issues or concerns that organizations might face.
Well, I think that the law itself and the, you know, every year as the timeline comes into fruition, the Affordable Care Act we're talking about, the employers, for many of them, it's just an overwhelming, daunting proposition. They know that there are fees and penalties associated with many components, administrative components, the actual plan that they offer. So as the broker, we are having to stay ahead of the curve in terms of all of the timeline of the implementation of this law. You know, this year, 2012, for groups that have over 200 eligible employees, and that also includes a part-time component, so we're not even talking about full-time component. And according to the healthcare law, by the way, employees that work 30 hours a week are going to be considered full-time eligible for benefits. So these employers are having to comply with the W-2 reporting this year. Smaller employers are going to have to comply down the road. And just the administrative burden of that one singular piece alone has been very difficult for employers, for the broker community, too. Our job is to kind of help mitigate this law as it unfolds before our eyes.
Bloober. Yes, I'll do what I can to make sure it's a sunny day on the 25th.
We then ended the month with Jean Paquette. She's the commissioner for the Maine Department of Labor and was the new commissioner at that time. And she was talking about why Maine is a business-friendly state. So let's hear a quick clip of why she said that is so. And we're here at the HR Power Hour to talk with Jean Paquette, the new commissioner at the Maine Department of Labor. Jean is an experienced entrepreneur who moved her way up through the HR roles, started a business, and is now running the Maine Department of Labor. She's going to be providing great tips and information on the future direction of the Department of Labor and how you can react and interact with them to improve your business. Jean, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, David. Pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, we talk about finding high-quality talent here in Maine. And that has been a challenge. There's no question, especially maybe in engineering or some of the medical fields. It's just a challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you think the DOL, or do you think the DOL has a role in helping, trying to, make employers understand how they can attract great talent?
I have some thoughts about that. I think that finding great talent is difficult now, not only because we're inundated with different vehicles to find the talent, and where is the talent, and how do you focus what your needs are to get the right person, but I also think that in the past, the Department of Economic and Community Development, DECD, here in the state, and the Department of Labor and the Department of Education has not worked in tandem to help us really focus on what can we do to help businesses find the talent they need. If the Department of Economic Development has information on a business that's interested in coming to Maine or interested in growing, now I am working with Commissioner Gervais and Commissioner Bowen to find out how we can set up our system so that we can get the people trained or find the talent they need in order to fill those jobs. So a lot of it is collaborative conversations starting at the highest level, starting at the commissioner level, and then putting programs in place that would help us reach the businesses to find out what they need and then what services, funding streams, training programs, any type of financial support we can give to the businesses to reach in and grab that talent.
Bloober.
I know this is going to be a great topic, so let's talk to her. I don't know. I'm going to blah, blah. I try to get clever, and I should stop being clever. I'm just not clever. We then went into December 2012, 6 months of HR Power Hour, and we talked to some amazing guests. First was Ralph Dice, Jr., president of Dice & Company, and he talked about outplacement and recruiting, followed by Andre Solier, author and motivational speaker and president of Solier Safety Consulting. And yes, he talked about safety consulting, followed by Michael Scarponi of Career Management Associates talking about executive coaching. We then went into the week before Christmas with two great guests, national speaker Jen Ciccone, CEO of Penumbra, and we talked about employee engagement. And then we spoke to Heather Bassett of Strategic HR New England, and she talked about the Strategic HR New England Conference and how it was a huge success. We then ended the year, 2012, with national speaker Diane Durkin of The Loyalty Factor talking about change management and employee loyalty. And here's a quick clip of how we ended the year 2012 on the HR Power Hour. And we're back with Diane Durkin from The Loyalty Factor. Diane, thank you again for being on the show.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so you've talked a lot about employee engagement in the last segment, and you talked a little about the environment necessary to make this work. Could you explain a little bit about the environment and what is necessary?
Sure. First of all, it's got to be a listening environment, where people are willing to listen to individuals and their ideas. They don't have to accept all the ideas, but they need to have open ears in order to take in and be willing to accept those. What can really kill employee engagement is when somebody comes up with an idea and I say, oh, yeah, we've done that before. Or, yeah, we tried that years ago. Or, that'll never work here. I mean, how many times do you hear that and then a person will say, well, I'm not even going to bother anymore. They've got their minds made up. They want to do it their way. They're not willing to listen to any new ideas or innovation and so forth. So that is number one. It's listening. The other one is, I call it a fear factor. If we can eliminate the fear factor in organizations of speaking up, I have an organization that I'm working with right now where people really have a fear factor. They're afraid to say something because the senior people in the organization are always right, you know, and they've been doing that way for years. And as a result, they're losing people in the organization. It's primarily the newer people. And they're saying, well, we got to get more creative. We got to get more innovative in the way we do things. And I say, yes, you say that, but your actions don't say that. What happens is your actions, when you shut somebody off in a meeting and say, oh, well, no, this is the way we're going to do it, they just say, okay, they're not willing to listen, and they're not going to be with your organization for very long.
This is the old motto of actions speak louder than words.
Precisely.
Bloober.
Oh, I'm sorry, 1020? Oh, I'm being called. 1020 is the actual date. This
is Debbie. Run. Is Debbie telling you what to do?
Yeah. So Debbie's my producer. Debbie tells me what to do all the time. That's her
and
mission.
She's got
in
a
life.
Voice. She's got a voice like velvet.
Yes. Well, you know. Oh boy.
I should pay you for that.
Oh God.
Thank you so much.
Yes. You know, I have to get her in and out of this studio. Okay. And you know, we started 2013 with two great guests on one show on Saturday, January 5th. Healthcare Challenges and Hiring Vets. Kevin Healy, Vice President of Human Resources for St. Mary's Healthcare System, followed by Rich Brewer, founder of One Warrior One. That's One Warrior, WON.com. Then we had national speaker Anne Rhodes, founder of People Inc. She spoke about the values model, and here were some of her comments back in January 12, 2013. And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we are speaking with Anne Rhodes, founder of People Inc. and the author of Built on Values. Anne, again, thank you for being on the show. So, you know, we've been talking about the first segment about, obviously, the culture that is needed and, you know, hiring and retaining A players. So I talked a little bit before we off the air about selecting A players. Talk a little about retaining A players.
One of the things we believe and over the years have practiced is that constant recognition of the right behaviors and rewarding people around behaviors, not time and job. So you can be a 20-year employee and frankly be the best employee I have, or you can be a 20-year employee who has sort of lost their drive and not have the energy anymore for the organization or the brand. We continue to believe and have shown this through the years that recognizing those behaviors through the years and rewarding people based on the behaviors rather than on their seniority or rather on than on anything else really reinforces and invigorates the brand and the energy around people trying to deliver on the brand. So we typically will put in place, like, we give managers, we suggest that you either carry cards in your pocket that have the values on one side, and then on the other side you write, when you see them immediately, you give them a card that has the value that you saw them exhibit, and on the backside you talk about how great it was to observe them behaving in a way that mirrored that value. People collect these, for instance, at Loma Linda Hospital in California, which is a very good hospital system. They collect those, and then when they get all the values, they get these little charm bracelet. It's a simple thing. It's very inexpensive. The most important thing, though, is people continue to carry those cards once they receive them, and they show their fellow employees. And by doing that, they're reinforcing the behaviors because the employee reads the back of the card and says, this is what they got the card for. I want one of those cards.
Blooper.
John, thank you for being in the stadio. Studio. Oh, my God. Mid-year in January, we then brought back Peter Lowe, for a topic of employment law review for 2013. We then went into two guests, the Aging Workforce and Responsibility with Jerry LaBelle, Senior Occupational Medicine Clinician at St. Mary's Hospital, and Susan Dench, author of The Responsibility Rules, talking about personal responsibility. Then we went into the month of February and started that month off with bringing back a national speaker, Don McPherson, from President of Modern Survey, talking about peak performance. Next was drama and engagement in the workplace. Again, another national speaker, Cy Wakeman, President and CEO and author of Reality-Based Leadership. Our next show covered two topics, career fairs and employment assistance programs. Our guests were Julie Arsenault, advertising sales consultant at the Portland Press Herald, Monster.com, and Steve Stevens, president and CEO of Stevens Wellspring Group. We then ended the month talking about mentoring, a hot topic, and it was Kathy Kilroy of the Mentor Group who talked to us about mentoring and its importance.
Blooper.
Okay, so tip of the week. Your HR tip of the week. Don't swear when you're talking to your employees. And use deodorant.
Please, please use deodorant. Please. Do you smell? Are you somebody in the next cubicle who just reeks?
Oh, man.
Do you find that people move away from you when you're nearby? Use the HR Power Hour Stick of the Week. This is the under the armpit. Squeeze it on slowly. Rub your arms together. You'll feel amazing. Oh my God. This has been your HR Stink Out of the Week. Tip of the Week. We started the month of March 2013 with two great guests. Josh Fifield from Clark Insurance and Murray Johansson of TheLegacy.com. And they both talked about two important topics, connections and leadership. We brought back, after that, Carrie Baker, Senior Account Executive at Norton Financial, to give us an update on the Affordable Care Act. And then James Bomber, Director of the Maine Business Leadership Network, or BLN, came in and talked about disabilities in the workplace. On Saturday, March 23rd, 2013, we brought in national speaker Kenneth Gronbach, president of KGC Direct. He talked about the importance of demography. A great show, and here's a quick clip. And we're here at the HR Power Hour, and we're talking with Ken Gronbach. He is the president of KGC Direct, and he is in Haddam, Connecticut, and he is a demographer. Ken, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, my friend.
Okay, you know, we have been talking about for the last half hour some interesting numbers and stats having to do with the generations and the differences and some of the challenges coming in terms of the workforce, and you've given me great hope in terms of recruiting with my organization. So let's talk a little bit about the global effects of the numbers and the demography and what's going on globally.
Well, what's the big story? The big story, of course, globally, especially in demography, is China. I mean, economically, China's juggernaut has double-digit increases in their GDP. People are saying that they will eclipse the United States economy in the next 10 years, and they're going to be influencing worldwide public policy, and aren't they great? Demographically, China has not shot itself in the foot. It's blown its foot off with their one-child-only policy. If you take a look at the one-child-only policy that was instituted 33 years ago, almost 34 years ago now, they have what they call prevented over 400 million live births. That means there are 400 million fewer babies in the last 33 years than they would have anticipated if they didn't institute the one-child-only policy. Great story. I mean, they've reduced their carbon footprint. They're going to produce, you know, each individual of those 400 million is going to pollute less. It's really a good story. However, what about the labor force? because they have reduced their fertility by almost 75%, which means they have no future labor force. They don't have enough to run things. They won't have enough taxpayers. They won't have enough consumers. And how long will it be before the huge part of the population in China will be elderly, and it'll be 500 million? And who's going to feed them? And guess what? They won't be able to. This is the biggest economic and demographic blunder in the history of the world, and there isn't a demographer on the planet that isn't scratching his head saying, what were they thinking?
Blooper.
Yo, 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 what's up to HR Power? I was here, and we're going to talk about HR today. We're going to make it happen. We're going to make it serious. You're serious. We're going to be talking about U.S. citizenship and immigration and the services and unemployment verification in the I-9.
We ended the month of March with a number of guests on the show talking about educational programs and engaged customer service. From the New England College of Business and Finance, we had Joanne Lakin, Director of Corporate Partnership Program, Deborah Cementa, Program Chair of the Masters of Science in Business and Ethics and Compliance Program, and Dr. Carla Padalano, Program Chair of the CAGS Degree Program in HR Management. We ended the show with Herb Cohen, chairman of Performance Connections International, and he talked about the engaged customer. April 2013, we started off with two great topics, the Berkman Method and long-term insurance. Our guests were Don Patton, Global Business Development Director and Learning Partner at Berkman International Incorporated, and then Todd Grove, National Director of Worksite Solutions for LTC Financial Partners. Then we had a national speaker, Eric Peterson, talking about diversity and inclusion. Next, we covered the topics of benefits of the HRASM Group, or Human Resources of Southern Maine, and then we discussed international relocation. So our guests were Lisa Noonan, president of the Human Resource Association of Southern Maine, and David Liebroff, president of Expaticorp. We ended the month of April with two great guests talking about the importance of employee job benefits. It was Peter Fenwer, president of Norton Financial Services, and Dan Titu, vice president of Norton Financial Services, giving us some tips. And here were a few things that they talked about. And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. And we are talking with Dan and Peter from Norton Financial Services. And, you know, you mentioned, Dan, in our previous segment talking about wellness, financial wellness. You know, we'll talk about employers in a second. So let's stay with employees for just a second. When employees have these struggles, employers sometimes say, well, this is none of my business. And they may say, well, you know, I understand that it's important that they have good financial health, but really, as an employer, do I really need to know about this? And do I really need to ask that question? I know from an HR side, HR professionals sometimes go, ooh, be careful what you ask, be careful how you ask those questions. You really, you know, you can know, but you really shouldn't know. So how would you advise employers to think about that for their employees?
Well, you're right. There's some exposure there to the employer if they're not coaching the employee the appropriate way, but that's where we come in. And because we can sit with the client or the individual of that particular employer and talk confidentially, and the employee knowing that it's confidential gives them peace of mind and also relieves them of a lot of that liability. We're just coaching them more than anything else. We're not telling them to do it. We're just suggesting ideas and ways that they might consider doing and giving them resources and so forth. Our staff's pretty talented with regard to that. So it's pretty rewarding when an employee a year later says to you know, the individual who might be talking to them about their retirement plan or told them how to put a budget together that, hey, you know, I'm out of debt or I'm on the path. And just the positive response of that individual reflects positively on the employer as well. I'm a productive employee again because I'm not worrying about those things as much as I used to.
No, you're right. Peter?
I think there is a role for the employer to play in this, and it affects morale if you've got people that are struggling financially. So there's an interest for the employer. It's difficult from an HR standpoint to know where the line is. You know, I think if we were counseling a client, we would help them define what that line is. But suffice it to say, you'll probably know who those people are without asking too many questions. And it's okay to approach them and say, hey, if you need somebody to talk to or if you need some help, let me know, without prying. What we're seeing with employers is tying healthcare and finance together here is that the older your employee base, the more expensive health insurance is. And this is not a discriminatory issue where it's it is discriminatory, but it's allowed discrimination. And it's reasonable because the older we get, the more we wear out, the more we wear out, the more we have claims, hence our premiums are higher. So employers are becoming more interested in having employees that are financially sound and participating in their retirement plans. If they're not paying off credit card debt, they are now able to put money into the retirement plan. If they're able to put money in the retirement plan, they may be able to retire on time. This is an endemic issue in the United States is employees are habitually underfunded in their retirement plans. They don't want to work past 65. They have no choice. They have to work past 65 because they haven't saved enough. And this is the American populace in general.
Blooper.
A great topic. Please be here. Be square. Be qua. Benda. It was so good till that moment.
I will just stop it just before please be there.
May was a strong month, starting out with Jane Salmon, president of Human Capital Partners, LLC. She talked about career trends across the country. Then we spoke to Leanne Seelog, president of Simply Put, and she talked about training and development. And then Mike Miles, director of human resources for the City of Portland, and he talked about maintaining a non-union status. Our next guests were Peter Burke, president and co-founder of Best Companies to Work Group. He brought with him Jessica Palladino and Kellen Nelson, both Maine co-chairs of the Best Places to Work in Maine. We then brought back Bud Bernstein, CEO of Northern New England Law Publishers and MaineHR.com, to talk about a worthy cause, helping Heather Abbott, a fallen victim in HR of the Boston Marathon bombing. We kicked off the last month of our first year with an amazing great guest, Cy Wakeman, president and CEO and author of Reality-Based Leadership, came back to talk to us about her second book, and here's a great clip of what she had to say. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. We are talking with Cy Wakeman, and we are talking about her new book, Reality-Based Rules of the Workplace. There are five, I understand, Cy. Five reality-based rules of the workplace. What are the fives?
You know, and the rules are important, and there is five, and they're important because if we learn the rules and follow the rules, we're happier and we're more valuable at work. We decrease our emotional expensiveness, which is what's draining our value. So the five rules really quickly, and we'll get into them. Number one, don't hope to be lucky. Choose to be happy. And that really, once you figure out that happiness is a choice and that your happiness is related not to your circumstances but to the amount of accountability you take for your circumstances, your whole world changes. And you're really able then to get clear about rule number two, which is, you know, suffering is optional, so ditch the drama. And we've already talked a bit about this in the first segment, but not only is suffering optional, most of it is self-imposed. And we don't realize that unconsciously we're creating drama all the time by complaining and creating stories and arguing with our reality. The third rule we want people to really know, and this is a huge change from in the past, is in today's workplace, we have to understand that buy-in just simply isn't optional. And we spend so much time opinionating when, in fact, the rule says it's your action, not your opinion, that adds value. And so often people want their opinion to count. And the issue with this is in the past, your expertise and your opinion were the same thing. The world was kind of flat and small, and, you know, our expertise and opinion were one and the same. And now expertise is so easy to get. You've been replaced by Google. And your opinions are usually what you use to stop the action. Expertise is what we use to make it happen. And so, while I tell people I don't necessarily want your opinion, I do want your expertise. Help buy in, wholeheartedly support the decision, and make it work. And that is a valuable use of your expertise. Fourth rule is that, you know, change is an opportunity. You've heard this before, but we just need to say yes to what's next. This whole resistance piece, people believe change is hard, but their pain is coming from their resistance to change, their unreadiness, not from change itself. And so we've outlawed the word change in our organization. We just talk about what's next, what's the news of the day, what's our focus right now, because change being hard is only because we're very attached to the past, and we have a hard time letting go of it. But if we don't let go of the past, we aren't able to create the future. And then the last one is, you know, that you always have circumstances, but succeed anyway. When I ask people why they didn't get the results they wanted, the most common answer is to give me a set of reasons why they didn't get it done. I got interrupted. I didn't have time. I was pulled in many directions. I didn't have all the information. And they actually believe that their circumstances are the reasons they can't succeed. And the biggest mind shift we've got to make to be successful in this new workplace is that our circumstances aren't the reasons we can't succeed. They're the reality in which we must succeed. So how am I going to be productive all day at work, knowing I get interrupted, knowing priorities change, and knowing full well I simply will never have all the information I need? And removing those excuses and just succeeding anyway.
Blooper.
How's that? I don't know. Is that better? No, you don't like any of that. I'm just screwing this up. We rounded off June with a number of great guests after that. Linda Vero, president of Broadreach PR, talked about HR trends and challenges. We then gave some clips of the 2013 Maine HR Convention, which was held at the Samoset Resort here in Maine and is the fourth largest HR conference in the U.S. We then went and talked to Keith Mullen and brought him back to talk about HR trends in career transition for 2013. We ended our first year of the HR Power Hour with two great guests. First was national speaker Pam Green of Power Project Institute, and she talked about achieving success through people. And then our last guest was Martha Ramirez. She is the Western Director for SHRM, and she talked about trends in SHRM for 2013. This was the lineup. These were our great guests for 2013. I also want to thank our sponsors, Champy Family Practice here in Portland, Maine, StrategicHRNE.com, MaineHR.com, and JobsInTheUS.com. Without them, it would not be possible. I also want to thank our flagship station, News Talk, WLOB, 1310 AM, for being a great host station. We look to move forward in 2013 with another great year. And finally, from yours truly, the host, to my producer, Debbie Davis, I want to thank you very much for putting up with me for a year, because that in itself is an accomplishment, as most would say, but doing a fantastic job on the board, and I want to thank her publicly for that today. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to kick off a new year, and it's going to be talking about the importance of supporting nonprofits in the workplace. We're going to have Janice Rogers from Diversified Communication, Ruth Lund for Legacy Supply Chain Services, Elise Tipton for the Center of Grieving Children, and Judith Stark from IDEX Laboratories in a panel discussion of why it is so important to have nonprofit support from corporate America. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBRadio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.